August 14, 1999, and I'm talking to Frank Michalski.
Michalski.
Okay, that's why. I don't have a set of questions. The interviews tend to be fairly conversational.
Okay.
What I do is try to get people to go back to about January of 1961, at which time there was no Peace Corps, but there was some kind of ferment, things were happening. So if you could sort of describe yourself as of about that time, go back a little bit.
Well, and I graduated from college in June of 60.
Okay.
And then I decided to go teach high school and get my educational degree courses, which I had none, so I had to go back, and I was going back to college again to get the educational courses. I had been I'm a lifetime Democrat. I was very active for John F. Kennedy. I worked in St. Louis to try to get him elected.
Let's go back a minute. You did your bachelor's degree at St. Louis?
St. Louis University.
And you were originally from St. Louis?
St. Louis.
Okay. During your 4 years of college, had you done any travel? Had you been outside the United States up to that point?
No. I had never been pretty much in St. Louis the whole time.
And in working for Kennedy, what got you to working for Kennedy?
Well, I guess his ideas, his progressive ideas and new things, that the government's going to do something more constructive. Everything that all the speeches, I really loved them. And and especially the one, at the Peace Corps, I thought that was a very good idea, that he's going to set something up that they can go out and spend money and help people instead of going out and shooting them or something like that. So, that's very... Again, I was very young and idealistic. And so
we were a precinct worker, sort of.
I stand on the corner and give out stuff for the election.
It's great. Yeah. And so you were then, as of January, you were at school finishing up these education courses.
Yes, I started taking education courses.
Okay. The inauguration was January 20th, and he made the speech, ask not. And then...
that was in 61 or 60? That was in
January 61.
61,
was the inauguration.
Okay.
Do you particularly recall the sequence by which you got yourself involved? Did you write to Washington?
I must... I don't recall.
Okay.
But I think I must have written, because I... Somehow I got it, I got excited for the training, so...
Right.
I'm not sure exactly. I must have written in somewhere. There must have been something on TV or something that says, go call up here or write or something.
Yeah. Well, the sequence was you wrote to Washington. You then filled out an application, and that was available at post offices and other places. Then, based on your application, it was a really lengthy one, but including items like, can you milk a cow, run a tractor? I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember. I recall it, no.
And then they then sent back letters inviting you to take the Peace Corps exam. And the earliest exam was given not until May 27th. I don't know, you were still probably finishing up school at that point.
I was probably in school, but I probably took the exam.
I'm guessing you did. But you don't remember.
I don't remember, no.
Do you particularly recall the reaction of either friends or family when you said, I think I'm going to join the Peace Corps?
Oh, some were positive and some were, no, that's stupid and everything like that. That's going off, especially going off to Africa, So some people were against it, but, others were supportive.
Then then after the exam, May 27th, then they finally pulled together the program. They realized there would be a program for Ghana. And then the earliest was June 24th. Telegrams went out inviting us to training. The telegrams were, some telegrams read, used the word Chana instead of Ghana.
I think I still have that telegram somewhere. I don't know, it's in my papers. If I looked, I probably still have that.
Do you recall particularly receiving the telegram?
I remember the telegram.
Yeah. And what was your reaction at that point?
I was very happy.
Ready to go?
Ready to go, yeah.
Okay. And it was short notice. Had you made plans for the following year other than Peace Corps? Because it was...
No. Because I still had to go on to finish up these education. I had more education courses to get.
Oh, okay.
I think I needed 20 hours or something of education. Yeah. I was only taking maybe six or eight or something at that time. So even when I finished up, I had to go more, you know.
Were you working at the same time as you were taking courses?
No, I was just taking the courses.
So then you expected...
I was sort of in between. I was really...
Yeah.
I was sort of open at that. I graduated, I was doing this, and so it was a good opportunity. This hit at the right time for me.
Did you have any interest at all, other than Peace Corps, in working overseas or in traveling overseas? Had it been...
No, not really. Until this came up.
Then the telegram was short notice. We got them like June 24th or 5th, mm-hmm. asking us to report to Berkeley July 2nd, which is just about a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you got from St. Louis out to Berkeley, or if you recall any part of that.
I know I took a jet plane. It was the first time I ever took a jet. You know, it was a very nice experience. To L.A. I went to L.A. and then I flew up from L.A. to San Francisco.
Oh, okay. At which point we then checked in at International House.
International House in Berkeley.
On the Berkeley campus. Mm-hmm. And were assigned rooms. Although we reported in July 2nd, the first couple of days were mostly medical processing and other mm-hmm. things. It wasn't until July 5th we actually began the training.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall your room at I House or who you might have roomed near? As they say, George Coyne recalled that you were...
To be truthful, I don't, not too much.
Let's jump ahead. You mentioned that you went ice skating in Berkeley.
Right. Not in Berkeley, in Oakland. I think it was Oakland.
Yeah, nearby.
I know where I worked at the medical, at the hospital in Oakland, you know, emergency room.
Yes.
That was part of the thing. I remember that.
Did you have any background in first aid or emergency?
No, but I was in pre-med, you know, so I'm very interested in medical things. I always have that, you know.
Ah, okay. So how did you deal with the emergency room?
No, I thought it was great. That was wonderful, you know.
Do you remember how many sessions you went to?
I don't know.
Okay.
And I remember the teacher, Stiles.
Right.
I liked him a lot because he was in my field. Again, he's a medical field, you know, and I really enjoyed his lectures.
Yeah.
And so that was I really liked that. You know, that was I guess I'm more medically oriented, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so he really fit in, you know. He's a great, you know, famous guy, you know.
I understand.
As far as medicine, you know.
He was a public health officer.
Public health man, yeah. So disease, so I'm sort of interested in that all, you know, my life. So.
Oh, okay.
So I was very, you know, that was very nice. I remember that. I remember him. And I remember going to the hospital and doing the emergency room, you know, that was
uh-huh.
fun. I remember playing soccer, because I'm from St. Louis. Soccer is a big thing in St. Louis, so I was playing soccer a lot.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who the guys were playing soccer with. I mean, I forgot all their names and everything, but...
Yeah, we'll look at the picture in a little while. And it's funny because, our training, our physical training program was an afterthought, and in a way they said, well, walking from my house to Warren Hall and back each day was your physical training program, because it's about a mile and a half downhill, uphill.
Yeah.
Can you picture Warren Hall at all? It was a traditional lecture hall, you know.
Yeah, it's a preventive medicine, isn't it?
It's in the public, it's the School of Public Health.
Yeah, I remember that.
In fact, I visited there in April, mm-hmm. just to go back and see what the room looked like and the feeling. And I recall vividly, because there's a space to one side of the hall, and I know we all would go there on break to smoke,
mm-hmm.
which sign of the times. And then on the other side of the hall is a little grove of trees and a slight hill. And that's where this picture was taken,
mm-hmm.
that with all of us. There were, of course, you had your degree from St. Louis University.
Mm-hmm. Bachelor, yes.
And the training itself, the emphasis on most of the training, other than Dr. Stiles, was really political science, anthropology, sociology.
I found it very interesting. I found all of it. You know, that's great interest to me. You know, I like that.
You had had no. You'd never studied about Africa before.
Not in that detail, but I've been very interested in history. And I,
uh-huh.
in college, I worked in the library.
Ah.
I was a library, you know, worked as part-time in a library, and I read all kinds of stuff.
Ah, okay.
And I sometimes wonder, while I was working in the library, I used to have access to all the books. And there was a book there, it's called, I think it was USSR, it was a Russian periodical magazine that came out once a month, telling about Russia, all about Russia. And I'm interested in all these things, you know.
Yeah.
So in one of the things, there was a free subscription to this Russian magazine.
Uh-huh.
So I subscribed to it. And I had that coming to me before I ever went to the Peace Corps. You know, yeah. I had that for about a year, this Russian magazine coming to my house.
Funny.
So I always sort of, in the back of my mind, was wondering if when they did a clearance, this is very obviously they could find out that I'm on the...
Yeah.
You know, at that time, the FBI, I don't know. I was on, you know, I was getting this magazine from Russia.
Yeah.
Because I was just, it was, first of all, it's free. And yeah. I was interested in history and travel and all that stuff, and I wanted to see what it was like.
And it was the Russian equivalent of the USIS. I mean, it's like their information service.
Exactly.
I can picture the magazine. I'm sure that I didn't subscribe.
As I say, I picked it up because I was working in the library where I found it. And inside they had a thing, you know, you just fill out the thing and you
get. Did people back home tell you that the FBI had been around? Because they did full
FBI checks.
I
think they had, I think they said that the FBI came around.
Yeah.
But I think everything should have been good. But unless they, you know, I had no problem with anybody. But God knows, in those days, if you're subscribing to a Russian thing, I don't know, that's one thing I always thought, perhaps that might have been
funny.
A thing that nobody would say anything about, because they would never tell me, you know.
No. And I think, you know, I don't know how I could check it. I have a feeling that if the FBI background check said not acceptable, they don't have to give a reason, and the selection people would have to accept it.
Yeah,
but, you know, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to apply through Freedom of Information Act.
I thought I'd
be curious about my own, too.
Yeah, see what happened, because I've never been, you know, I'm active in Democrats, but I'm not a communist or nothing, never even went to that. But, you know, I just for, you know, education, to find out what's going on, you know.
Well, it's, I mean, because 61 was still fairly close to the years of McCarthy.
Yeah. That's right. And later on, I start thinking about that.
The FBI has never been noted for its liberal outlook either. Could be. So you remember that, in fact, the people said, well, the FBI was asking, because my friends also told me. Back to the training. There were four professors who were kind of did most of the program.
Mm-hmm.
One is David Apter, who was a sociologist who had written a book on Gold Coast in Transition was the title, and had lived in Ghana during that time of when they became independent. Sinclair Drake, who was a black sociologist, had written a book on the fact that blacks in Chicago, but had also worked in Ghana. A guy named Bob Lystad, who was an anthropologist who had lived in Ghana in a small village and written a book about the Ashanti, and then a guy named Gray Cowan. I don't know if you particularly recall any of them or distinguish among them.
No, I really don't.
Yeah. Apter is, everybody remembers Apter as having made a speech at the beginning. He was sort of the head of the faculty.
And I saw that in your thing, but I don't recall that.
Oh, I sent you the copy. Okay. All right.
So I don't recall that.
Yeah. Also, in the group was a mixed group. There were a fair number of Midwesterners, a cluster of New Yorker types, myself and Marty Wallenstein, Bonnie Chesson. In fact, Fifi had taught in Brooklyn, and then a cluster of Ivy Leaguers. I don't know if you felt comfortable in the academic setting, if you felt it was, you know, made sense, it was familiar because you'd been to college, or it was a little over your head, or a little
I don't think so. I thought it felt pretty good. You know, I kind of liked it.
Because
you know.
A few of the people, like Dick Mays, among others, was sort of a little bit intimidated by the training because, you know, he had gone, I forget where he'd gone to school, but a small college in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And, you know, suddenly being up against Yale professors and people like that was part of the work included pulling together our notes and everything in the form of a report that we submitted near the end of training.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall doing that?
No, I don't.
Okay. Training then was mostly the lectures, the Dr. Stiles you mentioned. Sort of offhandedly, they said, go and play, learn to play soccer or play soccer in the afternoons, and I gather you did
that.
I
did that, yeah.
So you already knew how to play soccer.
I knew how to play
soccer. Well, that was extreme. Most people didn't. And then there was language training. There were three
Ghanaians. Yeah, I recall that a little bit, yeah.
Did you learn Chui? You don't recall?
I don't recall.
Okay. And at one point in the training, two young men came to take part. One was a guy named Tom Miller. Another was a guy named Sam Bowles and his wife Nancy. The Bowles had taught in Nigeria in a secondary school. Tom had taught in Ghana in a secondary school. I don't know if you remember them at all.
Not really. No.
Okay. Then the other big part of training, of course, then was the selection, which almost across the board people have reacted. Most people have never seen a psychiatrist, and they comment on the two psychiatric interviews. I don't know if you recall any particular reaction on your part.
I don't recall.
And the other was the Bruce DeSmith doing the psychological testing. Well, tell me again about the where you mentioned what happened when you went learning to go ice skating in Oakland. You mentioned that you had an accident when you were...
Yeah, I never ice skated before, and I was with the group, and I just fell down, and I hit my head real hard on the ground.
Yeah.
And then I went back to the room that night up at the I House, and I started feeling bad. So I went down to the clinic, or what do you call it, the health office, you know.
Yeah.
And I stayed there for a while, and then they sent me back up there. So I was feeling kind of funny, you know. I didn't know how bad I had hurt myself, you know.
Yeah.
But then after a while, I think I had fractured a bone up here.
Oh.
And so...
did they do an x-ray, or they... I don't know if you x-ray when people complain of concussion, whether that would be called
for. I don't
know
what they did or not.
And that was like in about the last week of training.
I think it was one of the last week probably.
Okay, and training really lasted just 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be longer, and then they decided to shorten it and give us a couple days home. But we were also up against the deadline of getting to Ghana by September 1.
Mm-hmm.
Do you particularly remember the selection process, how you were informed about selection?
I don't remember, no.
Do you remember meeting with a guy named Nicholas Hobbs, Dr. Hobbs? He was the head of selection from Washington who came out.
No, I don't remember.
Okay. Let's take a look at the picture.
Okay.
And see if it jogs your memory at all. I don't know. I think I sent it to you.
Yeah, I got a picture copy of it. Yeah.
With the roster, I hope.
Yes, the same thing, yeah.
Now, let me get my reading glasses.
Yeah, I was looking through to try to see some, because there's some people I was sort of friendly with, you know, more closer to them, but I don't remember who their... I don't even remember their faces now, you know. It's been so long.
Now, you're a number... Five in the
right
picture.
Here. I guess that's you, right?
That's me, yeah. Oh, the only one with a beard.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because...
I do remember Ophelia Ghana. I do. I did know her, you know.
Yeah. She was Ophelia Delane at the time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, standing next to you is George Coyne, number six. And he's
the one remembering.
Yeah, and he was from South Plainfield. He was he had been a junior high school teacher.
I think one person I remember is from Kansas, but I don't know who that was. A guy from Kansas, I think.
Well, that's probably Dick Mays.
If he got taken or didn't get taken, then
it would be either Dick Mays or a very tall guy who was a basketball player, Bob Crisco.
I think it must have been Mays then. Now this guy wasn't tall. He's about my size.
Yeah. He's from Kansas. This is Dave Hutchinson. He was originally from Ohio. One married couple, Dick and Ann Port. And one journalist, Arnold Zeitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the one of the other New Yorkers is Marty Wallenstein.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people from Illinois. And this is after, you know, they were young, and this is mm-hmm. a guy named Greg Cowan. He was one of the professors, there were only two of the professors.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a guy who was supposed to be director, but never, he disappeared after a couple of days.
I see.
And this is right outside Warren Hall. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if any of the other names.
Now, I was looking at the names, thought maybe I'd remember some of the names.
Yeah.
I don't really remember the names.
Yeah.
What I do remember is it was sort of a very active time. You know, a lot of things were going on. You know, and we were busy all day long. You know, we were busy,
right.
And it's a lot of new things happening at one time. You know, and it's sort of a blur. You know, sort of like a blur to me.
Do you particularly remember? We did have some time off, like Sundays. I think were kind of. Do you remember going into San Francisco?
Go into San Francisco. Now, who did I go with? I went into San Francisco with some of these people. I don't know who I went in with. Yeah, no, I did go into San Francisco.
And I don't know if you were the type who would also, after class in the evening, finally end up at the Rathskeller, which was the student sort of beer bar just off campus. A bunch of us used to meet there. Yeah. And
I don't recall that one.
Sit around and sing Michael Row the Boat Ashore, which gives you an idea where we were at. Okay, I don't. That was the training.
Mm-hmm.
After you found out you weren't going,
mm-hmm.
you came back to St. Louis.
Came back to St. Louis.
And then, what did you do the following September? You may have told me already, but
I went. I continued on my education, you know, more education hours, so I get my Missouri certificate.
Okay.
So, because I hadn't finished up my education hours when I went there.
Right.
In fact, I was in 61. I was in school. I withdrew. I was looking at my transcript. I withdrew. Yeah. I was taking the education courses. I withdrew when I went out to California.
Right.
From that course, and then when I went back, and I took the next course the next summer, or I'm not sure when it was.
Yeah.
So in other words, I kept continuing on.
And
then I had to go through the practice teaching and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, it took about a year or more to get it all before I got my license, and then I went on teaching.
And you taught in Missouri?
In Missouri.
For 3 years?
3 years.
Okay, and after teaching there, then what?
Then, as I say, while I was teaching, I would go into Notre Dame in summer to get a master's in biology.
Ah, okay.
They had a program for high school teachers.
Yeah.
And then once I had gotten the master's, I knew the people in the department, and they asked me, why not go for a PhD? Because I could do it. And so I said, okay, well.
Yeah. And you finally went to Penn to complete your...
That was my postdoc, after I got my PhD.
Oh. Now, where did you get your PhD?
In Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
So I got my PhD there.
Yeah.
And then I went on after that. Once you get your PhD in science, you got to do postdoc, and it's just something you have to do. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky to get into the University of Pennsylvania, and it's, you know, a good program.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was even more lucky to get the second postdoc at Yale with this one professor, Professor Shung, who's...
How do you spell Shung?
H-S-I-U-N-G.
Yeah. And it's pronounced Shung.
Shung.
Yeah.
Edith Shung. And she's she was one of the only woman full professors at the medical school. She's a PhD.
Yeah. And, is she now retired, or
she's retired? Oh, yeah, she's retired, but she still works. She works. She writes. She's written so many things and books and stuff.
Yeah.
So she's still very active, and she just came back from Taiwan, where she teaches this course. She set up this course and taught about 5 years, and we went there 1 year and taught with her. And then she had taught in mainland China.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a super teacher, is what she is. But she's also a very good researcher. She found a lot of things. She made many big discoveries in virus research.
Yeah.
But she's also an excellent teacher. And all the doctors at NIH probably been taught by her at some time. So
yeah.
She's.
And then, how did you run into Fifi, Ophelia Goner?
Well, she's at UMDNJ.
Yeah.
So that's. Because when I first came in 76, I became an adjunct professor at UMDNJ because I used to teach at the medical school there, you know, when I first came down here.
Okay.
Because I came from Yale Medical School, and then I started teaching at this medical school
yeah.
on an adjunct basis. My main job was running a lab, but I was doing adjunct.
Right.
But I never really knew that she was there. For a long time, she was there, and I didn't realize that that's who it was. It was only recent, and relatively recently, that
yeah.
I found out that this is who it was, because I think my wife was working there, and... she must have Ophelia must have recognized me or something, and then she talked to my wife.
Yeah.
And then I found out, you know, that, she was a real one.
Yeah.
You know, that I met in California.
All those years later.
All those years later.
Yeah, she came back, and I think she did a doctorate at Yeshiva
mm-hmm.
in New York, and she married.
Over in Ghana. Yeah,
that's
Ghana.
Where she met Amos, and
yeah.
Yeah, they were up at the reunion.
Last year, first time. She taught a course last year. She teaches these high school kids in Newark. You know,
yes.
I was teaching high school.
Right.
So she wanted someone to teach HIV, so I went down and taught for her at her course
uh-huh.
last year. So that's the first time I actually worked with her, you know, since we've been here.
Yeah. Yeah, she's an extraordinary...
Oh, no, she's a super person, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's really...
Okay, that, you know, that for the interview, that... let me see.